Good evening, y'all. Can y'all hear me in the back?
Yep.
All right, cool. Just making sure. So, okay, well, it's good to see y'all on this Sunday night. It's awfully cold in here, by the way. I don't know if it's just me. I'm freezing though.
You keep preaching, it'll warm up quick.
Yeah.
You saw Gary patting the sweat off.
Yeah, he said it's like a hot pocket up here, so, yeah. Well, anyways, good to see y'all. Appreciate the opportunity, of course. This lesson is, it's going to be about politics. And no, not like me talking about how one side is better than the other side. I'm not going to do that. Instead, the lesson's titled, How Christians Should View Politics. Well, see, obviously, we've been going through an election. It's pretty much over at the moment. I mean, you never know these days. Something could happen, but our president-elect has been chosen, and the country is ready to transition into the next phase. When I talked to some of y'all sometime last week about it, I could tell most of y'all were tired of talking about it. They're just over it, ready for it to end. And I am too, don't worry, I'm with you. But, you know, because of the current events, I really felt like this is something we need to talk about since it's clear in our minds, right? What was encouraging, though, was that after talking to the ones I talked to, all of y'all had the same consensus. All of you decided that, you know, whatever happens, we're going to leave it in God's hands. You know, to that I say amen, because when it comes down to it, that is exactly the attitude as Christians should have. We understand that God has been, is, and always will be in control. And whatever happens, it's supposed to happen. So if we had that mindset, things like, you know, how someone feels about a certain topic, or, you know, little disputes like that wouldn't happen, because we understand that everything that's going to happen is supposed to happen. It's all in God's plan. All we can do is just say, you know, thank you, God, and move on. Say a prayer and go to sleep, you know. So it'll make our lives a whole lot easier, trust me. So as I always say, when I come up here and make a lesson or even a short talk, I never come up here and you know, preach or teach on something that I myself haven't been guilty of. This is medicine for me. And if some of you fall in the same category, it's medicine for you as well. You know, we're all here to get better. We're all here to learn and grow as Christians. So hopefully this lesson can help you out. We as Christians should not have a sour attitude just because the person we wanted to win didn't win. There's no need for us to bicker and whine about it on social media or even to ourselves. Because when we do that, it shows a lack of faith and trust in God, since every leader is chosen by God. And it shows that we have allowed ourselves to become ingrained into the things of this world, which is not good, obviously. So this is why I wanted to bring this lesson. I want to remind us that before we are a Democrat, before we are a Republican, before we are an independent or libertarian or whatever, we are Christians, first and foremost. And I don't necessarily believe it's wrong to have a political affiliation, but what is crucial is that we all understand that our political party is insignificant compared to our spiritual party. So the leader of our spiritual party, and you all know who that is, has given us clear instructions on how we should conduct ourselves while on this earth. And we will now talk about what those instructions are. So we're going to start in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And we will read some verses in a little bit. So that's what we have to do as Christians, is realize that, because it's written in Scripture, realize that God is in charge and He chooses who reigns on this earth in many places, not just America, but in many other countries, and even on a smaller scale, you know, our sheriffs, our mayors, our county commissioners, all that stuff, you know. It doesn't seem like it, so, because it seems like, well, we're the ones voting, right? But it's quite interesting, you know, God is so much farther above any of our understanding and our thinking that we could think that, yes, we are on earth and we make our free reign and we have, you know, free will, but God is still in control. All things are going to happen. God already knows it's going to happen. So that's why when we try to put when we try to put God in our own time frame and our own realm of understanding, that's where we run into problems. We can't do that. We can't do that, so don't even try to do that. We ought to treat whomever is in charge with respect and deference, whether it be your boss, the police, the president, etc. It is okay to critique the actions of a ruler, for they are but flesh and blood. But we must do so respectfully as not to cause ourselves to sin. Remember who is ultimately in charge of the law and who appoint those rulers. So now we're going to read Romans 13. We'll start at verse 1 and probably go down to verse 7. Yeah, I'm reading out of the King James Version, by the way. So Romans 13, it reads, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor, and honor to whom honor." So, that's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people, and for myself included when I first read this, because you're thinking, why, if God chooses who's in power, then, you know, what about the corrupt people? What about those that we know, that we may believe or may have evidence to not be such good people? And, you know, we could even talk about in this country and other countries, you know. Man isn't perfect, and we know that a lot of people that are in these high places aren't exactly Christians like we are. They go to Catholic churches or whatever. They go to church occasionally just to show off for the press and all that. You know, so why are they being chosen? Well, to be honest, I did want to go into that in a little bit more detail, but I don't want this lesson to be too long. So I might tackle that in a short talk. But just know, all in all, God does choose these rulers for a reason. Again, beyond our understanding. As even if they are evil, even if they're not exactly good people, what Paul is saying to the Romans, to be more specific, but it is from God, obviously. What God is saying right here is not wrong, because even if someone is evil, so to speak, even in this country, if that was the case, if you do wrong, what will happen to you? You'll be punished. Doesn't really matter if so-and-so is evil, if so-and-so is corrupt, if so-and-so took money under the table. All God's telling us is that our duty is to do what we're supposed to do, is to represent the Church of Christ, to represent Christ's church, Christ's body. That's what we're supposed to do. And we're not really supposed to worry about what other, so-and-so did this, but so-and-so did that. No, what are you doing? What's Zach doing? You know, what are you doing? That's what's important. So I think that's kind of like you got to understand, at this time, Paul's talking to the Romans, right? Like, this is Rome. Romans talked about it many times, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but Roman, it's not a very good time for the Christians. Lots of persecution. Lots of terrible stuff that happens to them. Like, they have it rough. So when Paul is saying this to them, with that in mind, it really hits that much harder once you realize that. Compared to what we're going through right now, we're nowhere near as bad as Rome. I mean, Rome was, I don't know if it was a dictatorship, but I know there was one ruler. So, I mean, call it what you will. I mean, it's definitely not as balanced as we have it right now with the president, house, and the judiciary. Like, we have it a lot easier than him. So if this is too tough for us to take right now, we're never going to take this. So swallow it and, you know, just live with it. It's not up to us to worry and stress about who's president. We just have to treat them with respect. And that goes for the lower level, sheriff, mayor, whatever. Treat those who are above us, police officers. Treat those above us with respect. So also we can go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And we'll talk and we'll start at verse 20. So Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20. It'll really be verse 20 and 21. So of course, this is around the time where Nebuchadnezzar was wanting someone to interpret his dream. People couldn't, and he was about to drop some heads. But Daniel told him, "Hold on, give me some time, and I'll try and get this thing interpreted for you." And then this is when Daniel was, sleeping, and then the night. God sent Daniel this vision, blessed him with that. So Daniel answered, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. So obviously the bigger point is something else, but right in that little point, Daniel does mention that he sets up kings and removeth kings. This has been the case for all of time. So this isn't anything new. It's not always, you're not always going to get 8 terms with whoever you want, And like we know in the past, some presidents have actually been taken out prior to the end of their term, if you know what I'm saying, assassinations. Abraham Lincoln, JFK, things like that. There's been attempts on Ronald Reagan. All that stuff's happened. So it's not that strange that whoever you want to be in charge isn't there as long as you want it to be. And we have to understand that God is in control. He takes to ever who he wants and puts in place who he wants. Doesn't matter if, I'll get into that in a second. Concerning this election, may feel that this outcome may have been due to alleged vote tampering. This is what some, I don't believe this, but this is what some have been saying is the case because of, with the write-in ballots, the mail-in ballots, there's some inconsistencies and all that. And lots of reports coming out from multiple places. Of course, none of this I know is for a fact or sure. This is just what's been reported. But lawsuits were also filed in response. But here's the thing. Even if this alleged vote tampering was true, it still does not change the fact that it's Biden's turn to be set up and it's Trump's turn to be removed, period. And now, I know I'm saying names, but let's just be honest. That's what we're dealing with right now in this country. So y'all understand what I'm saying. That's just what it is, right? That's why I stated earlier that whatever happens is supposed to happen. Doesn't matter. No man can change what God decided would happen because, as stated in Romans, God holds all authority, and it is he who ordains the world leaders for whatever reason he sees fit. Doesn't matter if someone cheated. Doesn't matter if there was malpractice in whatever election in any level of society. Whoever's put there is put there for a reason. God, we have stories of how God went into the hearts of men and caused, remember Pharaoh? God went into the hearts, hardened his heart, and made him say, don't let the people go. God, what makes you think God doesn't do that now? There's no change. God's still in control. So maybe he went in the hearts of people to do certain things throughout our history of time. Who knows? But it doesn't mean God's bad or God's evil. No. God makes moves and does things to serve certain purposes. And whatever the purpose may be, he didn't promise us that life would be easy. He didn't promise us life would be perfect. Things are going to go wrong. But it's up to us to keep the faith and stay strong. Nothing has changed what we as Christians are still being are told to do. Nothing has changed that. So our objective should not change no matter what happens. So my preference, your preference, anyone else's preference is not more important than God's preference. So we can go to Isaiah chapter 55, and it gives us a good rundown of how we should view that. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 12. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 12. So Isaiah 55, starting at verse 8, it reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So God just dropped the mic right there, so I ain't got nothing to say after that, you know. So let's not get caught up in feeling cheated, distraught, or melancholy if our candidate in whatever level of office wasn't chosen. And definitely don't exhibit feelings of anger and vengeance either, because the scriptures are clear in how our conduct should be towards leadership. We can also go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Did I say 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy? So I said 1, okay, good. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I'll read that again. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And if we skip down to verse 8, it reads, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So that's kind of what I've just been saying. So it's not really beneficial for us to dwell in an outcome that we might not have wanted. It's better if we just pray for everyone, pray for the leaders, pray that even if the government isn't completely 100% clean, we still pray that God will continue to be in control, to work over everything. We pray that whatever's done, that we can still stay strong. That's why I say in most of my prayers that we stay strong no matter what happens, no matter how, whatever direction the country goes, we just pray that we can still stay strong, stay faithful, stay on our path, and no matter how bad things get, we continue to hold the faith and continue to, you know, encourage one another, and also reach those outside of the body, and, you know, when they're experiencing things that they may not like, maybe we can tell them that, you know, there is politics in this world, but there is something better. There is something more solid, more concrete, and something that is infallible, not made by man, that will not fail you. So, you know, there's always a silver lining in everything, I believe. So, again, I don't think there's anything wrong with offering fair and unbiased criticism of whomever holds office at any level, because after all, they are men. But scriptures are clear in how we are to follow the orders of those who govern us and give them honor. So that's all we have to do. We don't have time to go out there and riot and go out there and throw rocks at windows or even go out there and tackle the people that are throwing rocks at windows. No side is right in that case. So another point I want to make is that we are Christians before we are Democrat, Republican, etc. So let our actions reflect that. So we understand how the scriptures say we would treat our leaders. But what does it say about how we should treat each other? More specifically, how should we treat someone with differing viewpoints than ours? So I can tell you one thing. Definitely don't do what the world does. Definitely don't do what we've been seeing on the news for the past year and even years prior. While some people are mature and open to hearing opinions different than theirs, the majority of people you see, unfortunately, are stubborn, biased, stuck in their ways, believing that only their views are correct and anyone else that disagrees is simply misinformed. And you know what? If that's how the world wants to act, then let them. But we as Christians are not to reciprocate their anger and vitriol. So let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Going right back to Romans. Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 1. And it reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, that's what we kind of been saying this whole time. That's all God have us do. God's not saying we have to out-debate somebody. God's not saying we have to out-muscle somebody to get your point across. Be not conformed to this world. The world does things their way. We're supposed to do things a different way, a way that seems peculiar. That's that word peculiar to others. That's just how it is, you know. So inevitably we're going to disagree with each other. I'm sure even in here, we'll probably have disagreements if we talk about certain topics. Let's just be honest, because we're all from different walks of life. It's going to happen, you know, but we are not to let it get to a point where it escalates and causes us to sin, where it escalates and causes us to have rifts, even within a church, even within a body, and to, and cause those sort of negative things. You know, that's not what we're supposed to do. It's okay to disagree, but it's not okay to fight and bicker and all that stuff, you know. So another verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2. I'm tongue twisted today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Starting at verse 24, well, 24 and 25. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So that's, there you go. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, to be tapped. Apt to teach and patient. That patience, that's really huge, because when we're in those sort of easy disagreements, it gets to the point where you feel like you're starting to say the same thing over and over, the same point over and over, and they're just not getting it. They're just countering with another point. Dad, you know me and you have those quite often, you know, and it's okay. It's all love. But at the end of the day, I can still look at him and say, you know, I love you, you're my dad, and we have different viewpoints, but it's all good. That's kind of how we should have that with others as well. You know, to be patient, apt to teach. He'll try to teach me things, and hopefully, if I'm not too hard-headed, I'll listen. That's how it is, you know, and that's how it is with parents and sons as well. It's going to happen. So that's just, that patience is very important, you know, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, you know, and that goes with not just politics, but obviously, I believe this in this context is talking about teaching the word and all that, but you can also apply it to even everyday conversations. You know, we just have to, that whole mindset of being godly and not letting emotions control our conduct, no matter how aggravated you get, because we will get aggravated, we're humans. We just have to, you know, take a deep breath and always stay even-minded and think before we speak. So, and of course, one last point about this. Before we are with any political party, we are Christians, like I said earlier. Also, even before we are citizens of America, we're citizens of heaven. So even more so than your political party, even more so than the place we live, there's a home that that's our true home, basically. Here is temporary. Here is going to go away. So there's really no point of us dying or vying or going too hard for this place that's going to burn up eventually, right? So Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and starting at verse 20. I'll just read it real quick. Philippians chapter 3 and starting at verse 20. It reads, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And of course, this is the King James Version. I think in the English Standard Version, instead of conversation, it says citizenship. So our citizenship is in heaven. It says it right in the Bible. So if our citizenship is in heaven, of course we are American citizens, obviously, but first and foremost, we're citizens of God. This thing that we're doing, this whole, you know, this whole Christian thing, it's a lot bigger than just stuff on this earth. And it's easy to get, you know, weeded into stuff in this earth. So what good is it to fight? What good is it to bicker over a fleshly man or a fleshly ideal? One's political party doesn't help them get to heaven, which should be everyone's main goal. We know from Scripture that earth will one day pass away, that encompasses not just physical objects, It also includes man-made ideas and belief. Notice I said man-made ideas and beliefs. Obviously, the scriptures won't go anywhere. But all these false religions and all this stuff that man made up is going to go away. So don't even subscribe to it, because it ain't going to help you. So, but here's the thing. God isn't going to care, if you're a Democrat. He's going to care if you're a Republican. He's going to care how many political debates you've won. He isn't going to care about any of that. He isn't going to care how many times you got on Facebook and won your debate, or how many times you shut people up, or how many times you made people delete your, or block you, or whatever. None of that matters. Let me get caught up in politics to the point where we lose perspective. We can end up like this person I'm about to mention. So, real quick, I'm going to go over a couple articles that I found concerning this whole tumultuous time namely the election. And I don't think I have too much more time, so we'll go through this pretty quick and get ready to conclude and everything. I don't want to keep y'all too long. So, Beverlyn Beede, a Trump activist, says that she was stabbed by Antifa activists in D.C. So some of y'all may have heard that there was a stabbing victim in D.C., and I'll just read about it real quick. So Beverlyn Beede is a pro-Trump activist who says she was stabbed by Antifa activists in Washington, D.C. in the early hours of November 4th. D.C. police confirmed that a stabbing took place at 2:30 a.m., that's the first red flag, 2:30 a.m. in the 1400 block of New York Avenue, the nation's capital. According to the statement, officers are looking for three suspects, two black males dressed in all black clothing, and a black female wearing black sweatpants. So that might tip you off that they may be Antifa, because they used to wear all black, possibly. But the female suspect was armed with a knife. The female suspect was armed with a knife. But the good news is that all those that suffered injuries were all non-life-threatening. No one died. So thank God for that. That's good. Of course, like I said, I point out a couple red flags. What are you doing outside at 2:30 at night? and how in the world did you get in contact with someone with a knife and these people, right? How did this happen? Well, let's go into a little bit more. Let's see, where am I at? So the area that the stabbing took place is just east of the White House, close to the Black Lives Matter Plaza in the city, another red flag. If you're against Black Lives Matter and that movement, why are you there? Looks like you're looking for trouble to me. We're going to keep reading on, In an Instagram video posted in the early morning of November 4th, Beede, who's 29, identifies herself as one of the people who was stabbed during the altercation. Beede says in the video that she was stabbed by Black Lives Matter kids. Beede adds that she and a group of people she was with were trying to protect a man who they felt was about to be attacked. That's when she was stabbed. There's a video, but I'm not going to play it, obviously. But when I saw the video, the very first thing I saw was her jumping out and attacking somebody. So I don't know how true that is, but we'll see. She was with some of the members that identify themselves as the Proud Boys. But the officials later on, it was said that the officials could no longer confirm that the victims were members of the Proud Boys or whether the suspects were members of Antifa or Black Lives Matter activists. I'm sorry, Black Lives Matter activists. So I don't know. Just a lot of foolishness if you ask me on both sides, really. That's pretty much all I got to read right there. Kind of the key things I said is that she seems to always post when things happen. That's what I've noticed. She's out at night at 2:30 at night. I don't know why. Of course, you're against those ideals, but you're out there in the area where inevitably people will be, and possibly people that are out to harm you. And on top of that, everything was posted. The incident was posted. A few hours prior, she posted saying, this is where I'm at, and this is what I'm doing. So here's the thing. She's not just some random person. She actually is known. She actually had some sort of national attention because of an incident that happened months ago with the same person. So this is why I wanted to bring this up, because the story I just said, if I said this to someone that's more right-leaning and not really in the realm of, fair-mindedness, if I said that, they'd all make it say, oh, look at that. There goes the left doing this, this, and that, right? Well, let's try and look at both sides, really. So here's another article. This happened, so what happened before was November 4th, right? This is July 20th. So this is in Staten Island, New York. So two Staten Island women with ties to a pro-life religious organization were arrested after they allegedly defaced the Black Lives Matter mural outside the Trump Tower in Manhattan, only to be seen on video hours later dumping paint on two other murals in Brooklyn and Harlem. Beverly Beattie, 29, and Edmi Chavanese, 39, both black residents of Stapleton, were taken into custody after they allegedly smeared black paint across the bright yellow letters which read Black Lives Matter on 5th Avenue in Manhattan. So they're out doing debauchery. You know, the Bible speaks against that, obviously. I won't go into all this, but that's basically the thing of it. And not only this incident, but after she did this, she was taken into custody and released shortly after. And she went on doing it. And the same day, she went in and defaced more murals at least three more separate times and posted every single thing on Facebook. And at the very end, she said, "Man, we had such a good day, man." I think I'll actually read that part because it's pretty crazy. She said at the very end of it all, she posted a thing saying, "We did an all-nighter. Let me tell you something. Yesterday was epic," adding that President Donald Trump needs the American people behind him. And you know, I'm skipping over a lot of crazy parts, but before that, she was saying stuff like, you know, we need to protect Trump, we need to protect Christianity, going against all this. So a lot of people tend to equate Christianity with Republican, and that's not really correct. But like I said, I'm not saying this to go against one side or the other. My point here is that while it seems that she had her own reason for doing things. She had her own reason for going out and doing these things. Not exactly what she would claim it is. By the way, I want to point this out before I go on. She is part of a ministry called At the Well, At the Life Well or something like that. She's actually an evangelist. So imagine an evangelist out at 2:30 at night looking for trouble. Or imagine an evangelist in the middle of the day defacing murals. So it's crazy. And I do want to point this out just for the sake of fairness. You know, me personally, I don't exactly completely agree with Black Lives Matter all the way. I have some issues with it. There's obviously some good, but there's obviously some bad that I can't overlook. But here's the thing. It doesn't really matter what I believe. It doesn't really matter, you know, any of that. I'm not going to go out and deface murals, all right? I'm not going to go out and punch people that have a different opinion than me. I'm not going to go out and do all these crazy things. That's the point here that I'm trying to make. I know I'm a little long-winded. But that's the point I'm trying to make here. You know, she believed that she was standing up for God and standing up for black people, whatever. And she was really just standing up for herself. Because you notice every time I mentioned something she did, it involved her posting to Instagram or posting to Facebook. Obviously, she has a brand. She's trying to make sure that brand gets out. And you know she's an evangelist, so maybe she wants money, you know. Possibly like that. Oh, come to my church because I believe in these things, right? No. You know, it doesn't really matter what you believe, whether you're on one side or the other. Sides should not really come into play when it comes to God, right? These are artificial constructs by man. These have nothing to do with your soul, all right? Your soul, there's only two sides that actually exist. The side with God and the side that's not with God. You already know who that is, right? And if we're not walking in that way, if we're not walking with God, there's only one other side we could be. So you can go out and say Republican, Democrat, all that, all you want, and you know that's cool. But when you take it too far, there's only really one side that you're on, and that's what I'm trying to make sure we're careful with. So for the sake of time, I had a bunch of other verses written, but you know it's funny when I do this lesson, I didn't expect it to really take this long. It's something I got to work with, but that's all right. So I want to say this real quick before we conclude. The actions of Beverly Beattie are no better than the actions of Antifa or any kind or any of the forces that she claimed to oppose. Christians should not attempt to fight sin with sin. Sin does not cancel out sin. It only creates more sin. No matter how wicked you believe the other side is, there is someone on your side. There's someone on the side that you're on that is just as wicked. So who is justified? No one. There is no justification for sin. So my point here is that it's okay if you have a political leaning, that's fine. it is important for us as, you know, not just Christians, but as observant people that are supposed to, you know, we have to pay attention to what goes on in the world. Just because you're a Christian is not an excuse to be ignorant of things. Because, well, you don't know, something could come down the line, you might want to be ready for it, or at least, you know, at least use that as a point when you do lessons and stuff. Like, okay, you know, this and this and this is going on out here, well, let me tie this to the Bible, right? And it goes in people's minds, because everyone's crazy about politics, right? So I'm trying to learn myself, so instead of, like, combat people, I want to just bring everyone together, and hopefully with even keel discussion, I can get people to not be so focused on one side and get people to understand that it's much bigger than just Republican, Democrat. What's really going on out here is a spiritual warfare. All right. At the end of the day, you know, your political leaning is not going to matter. Because when you stand in front of God, he's not going to ask you how many debates you won. He's not going to ask you what side you lean. He's going to ask, what have you done? You know, he's going to look at your file, basically. He's going to look at the book of life and look at the things you've done. And if you don't check out, you know where you're going, right? And it doesn't matter. So in conclusion, I just want us to be cognizant of what's going on in this country, cognizant of how if we let our political beliefs go too far and drive us to become something that we don't really want to become, that's just not good for us. It's tough to teach people about the Bible when you're telling them that because they believe that whatever thing is going on in the world is wrong, that, you know, you yell at them and you're, you know, spits flying and you're pointing fingers at them and you're yelling at them, shouting at them, telling them that they stink and all this stuff. You don't want to do that, right? Because when you do that, people won't want to come and listen to you. People won't want to come to God if you claim to be a person of God. So we have to be the difference. Whatever size they want to make in the world, we have to be the difference. So that's pretty much the basis of my lesson. I thank y'all for listening today. Of course, this wasn't a lesson on first principles, wasn't a lesson on, you know, exactly how to be saved, but obviously, no matter what, we always have for the invitation. And of course, if everyone in here, if you already are a Christian and you have erred, if you have been on Facebook yelling at somebody because they had a different opinion, or if you had been speaking ill of any person in power at any point, that is grounds for repentance. If it's of a private nature, obviously, you pray to God for that. Pray that he gives you strength, and pray that you'll never let those thoughts flood your mind again and cloud your judgment. Of course, if it's of a public nature, then make that confession known. But at this time, I had nothing further to say, so at this time we'll be dismissed with a closing song.